Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our official WrestleMania 41 predictions brought to you by the Wrestling Is Cool Gang. I'm Santi, that's Sancho. It's WrestleMania season. Yeah, we're just going to do dance battles in the street. The Wrestling Is Cool Gang is coming.
Hey, we made it to another video, my friend. Handshakes.
Sorry, yes, handshakes. We did a good job, man. Another WrestleMania. Definitely a lot less hype than last year's WrestleMania, but like, it's not even a fair comparison, right?
It's going to be Avengers Ultron. Age of Ultron, where we're kind of hyped, but at the end of the day, it's going to set up for a lot. You know what I mean? It's important WrestleMania. Does that make sense?
Yeah, do you think it like Age of Ultron, people in the moment will be like, okay. But then, like, years later, they're like, ooh, that was way better than we remembered it being. I'm hoping that this, if anything, like, rather than comparing it to something that's not wrestling, I hope that this is something similar to, like, Mania 31, where we went in with a lot of doubt, a lot of concern about the show, where many of the matches seemed rushed, poorly built, and then once the smoke settled from the show, we're like, holy smokes, what a fantastic show that ended up being. That was WrestleMania 31. I'm hoping that it's kind of like that, because right now, you know, on paper, this definitely does pale in comparison to everything that we led up to at WrestleMania 40. But then again, all 39 other WrestleManias before it also, in my opinion, pale in comparison to the buildup and lead up to WrestleMania 40.
I know we're going to dive into it further in our podcast, but do you think that this is like Triple H's truest WrestleMania? Because remember, the story and all that stuff started with Vince. 39 and 40 kind of like worked together, even though Vince wasn't around in 40. But this one's like a standalone Triple H project, it feels like. Vince is kind of credited as a writer for 40 a little bit. But 41, this is all Triple H now, it feels like. That makes sense?
I totally get it, because 40 was the culmination, the climax of the Bloodline saga, the culmination of Cody Rhodes chasing the bloodline. And Vince McMahon technically started both of those things, right? He was there as the head of creative for the return of Cody Rhodes. He was there as head of creative for the start of the Tribal Chief and the formation of the Bloodline. So even if Vince McMahon was already out at that point, there was still Vince's fingers in some way, shape, or form. His influence was still there, even if it was a fully booked Triple H show. Much of the big things were started by Vince McMahon. I think when you look at what we're dealing with here, I think you might be onto something, where this is the first truest of the true Triple H the game led WrestleMania, because we have the John Cena heel turn, we have a champion Cody Rhodes, that's something brand new, we have a CM Punk in a WrestleMania main event, something that they were never able to do under Vince McMahon. And many other things as well, like just new wrestlers like Lyra Valkyria, Tiffany Stratton being in there as well. So I do get what you're saying. It does sort of feel like Triple H's full blown debut, like his singles album, you know?
Yes, exactly. Let's get to predicting, my friend.
Yeah, let's jump into it, folks. In total, there have been a total of 13 matches announced for this year's WrestleMania. Now, before we jump into the actual WrestleMania matches, Sancho, let's predict a couple of things before we go into the show. These are all WrestleMania related. Quick.
Sure.
Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Used to be on WrestleMania, but let's predict it. Who wins? Who do you got?
I'm going to give it to Braun Strowman.
Okay. All right.
Monster amongst men. Not on the card. But he loves his fans here, just do the work. So we got to give it to Braun. I think like that usually heavies the big guy. And there's no like Cesaros. There's no Swiss Superman on the card right now. Maybe an Otis could be a dark horse to give some burn for him. But like my favorite pick would be a Karrion Kross. I think Karrion Kross could use some momentum. But Andre Meyer Memorial thing is only like a Bobby Lashley's the last one who won it, right? That was the last guy to win it?
No, Bronson Reed won the last one.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like a match curse, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, we've had like some weird winners. It's been like Bronson Reed, then before that, Bobby Lashley. I think before that might have been Jey Uso, or no, Madcap Moss, I think.
Big Show was one of them.
He was one of the first ones, yeah.
Yeah, and then Cesaro was the first one, right?
Yeah.
Cesaro gave it a Big Show.
Yeah,
Cesaro's spot. It's a spot thing, so long as you get a good spot, I think Cesaro had a like a banger of a spot. I would hate for Rey Fénix to win.
I don't think
it would be a weird thing for him to win.
I'm going to go with something that I think is a weird person to win, but I'd be interested in seeing it. I'm going to go with Berto. They've been doing this little thing with Berto and building up this maybe, maybe potential babyface turn, just some like dissension within Legado del Fantasma, babyfaces, babyface-ish, but also heel-ish. Clearly, they've got a plan in motion for Berto. At least we can say that. I don't necessarily know that an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal pushes those plans forward or does anything, but I'd be interested in seeing that. So I'm going to go with Berto.
I think it'd be interesting if you wanted to push that narrative if Berto does win and Santos is still not satisfied. Because he's a Little League dad, dude. Little League toxic dad, you know? It always felt that way. Yeah. I'm interested in where Legado goes as well. I think Legado is a much more interesting faction than LWO right now.
No, I agree. The other thing worth predicting, Sancho, on Friday night SmackDown, there is a tag team match. My question to you is, does it end in shenanigans with all of the tag teams? And do we get a ladder match or something announced for this division that obviously deserves to be on the WrestleMania card?
Do you feel that with a Triple H baits us to get upset at things so that way he could gauge our interest? Like, do you really want Street Profits at Mania? And then we will get upset on the internet, which he said that he doesn't really put that much value in. But clearly, they're wanting to bait us to get us mad so the Street Profits could get momentum for Mania push, right? Doesn't it feel that way?
Well, they also made it into a storyline with The Miz saying, you guys are such poor champions that you couldn't even get these championships on the WrestleMania card. I would be ashamed. I have fingers crossed that that's something, you know, that is enough to lead us into this match ending in some sort of crazy shenanigans and giving us a multi-team a WrestleMania
brawl,
match.
Like a big brawl, and then Nick Aldis comes out and is like, all right, gentlemen, you can't handle it here. We're going to have a match at WrestleMania. I think that'd be banger.
Would be honestly in very Nick Aldis fashion to be unprepared for a show and be like, oh, thank God. Thank God you guys fought because I needed one more match.
Oh, good heavens.
Oh, man. Okay. I think that we're going to get this match at Mania in some capacity.
So who wins? What tag team walks away as as champions? If they do happen to get there.
I still think the Street Profits. I think
really?
I think the Street Profits will retain if they go into WrestleMania. Look, they already beat it. Had they not already faced Pretty Deadly, Sancho, I would have guessed Pretty Deadly. But they already did fairly recently, beat them clean, no shenanigans. Motor City has already recently held it. DIY has recently held it. Legado would be a fascinating option if they were to give it to Legado. But if you were pointing gun to my head and you told me you have to pick between Legado or Street Profits, what's more likely to happen? I think they're more likely to keep Street Profits as champion.
I think it would be a fascinating thing to redo like a surprise tag team. Like they did with the Hardys at one time, like they unexpected. But this feud has been in a nice little bubble with all the tag teams, and I think they should contain it that way. I think DIY would be a fun choice, but Motor City Machine Guns seems like a sleeper pick for me at that for that one. I'm rolling with Motor City.
Okay, I think they might add The Miz and Carmelo if they do make that match.
I hope they do.
I hope they
Miz
do too.
Don't miss.
Yeah, I hope they do because a 5-way ladder match just doesn't have the same ring as 6-way. You know. Because that would give us a six teep.
Do you Same. you think we could get one more? Yeah, we could get one more.
Let's get one more. All right. Last one, Randy Orton. Randy Orton currently is going into this a la Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 38, a la John Cena, Bobby WrestleMania 34. I guess you could say Bobby Lashley, yeah. Does Randy Orton get a match at WrestleMania? I'm not really even asking you that. I think the answer is yes. Who? Is it Solo or is that a misdirection to give us Nick Aldis?
I hope so. The last episode before the go home for SmackDown, Nick Aldis did have a little bit different tempo to his demeanor, a little bit of more like a cloud over his promo. And I like that intensity. And I think there's something there. But I don't know if they want to burn that on such a quick build. Does that make sense? Like, I think Nick Aldis deserves a little bit more time on doing promos and things like that, rather than just like, oh, you RKO'd me twice. Let's have a go. I want respect. I think you could have a backlash with Randy Orton with Nick Aldis, give him the proper build. My gut is give me Rusev, baby.
Rusev Day.
Is it Mania on Rusev Day?
I have no idea. I mean, every day is Rusev Day. That's the thing.
I think it would suck for Rusev to get buried, but it would be good to see Rusev again and maybe get some good minutes against good old Randy Orton. I think if you're a Rusev fan, you don't want that. You want Rusev to show up the Raw after Mania, maybe contend for the IC title. But to make an appearance as a debut and be a little bit more menacing and make Randy a little bit, because you know he has the move, Rusev Crush, right? The back thing, that could work an angle, but
the accolade.
The accolade, yeah. It all depends on, or the camel clutch. It all depends on if they're willing to go a little bit longer than like a 5 minute thing, right? If it was 10 minutes, it'd be Nick Aldis. If it was like an 8 minute match, it'd be Rusev.
Okay. I think it's going to be Nick Aldis bringing that promo between those two on the most recent episode of SmackDown didn't settle anything. It looked like there was still a lot there. They brought up Mickie James, you know, like Randy started getting personal. You know, he started hearing those voices. So I'm going to guess that we will get Nick Aldis here, mostly because I think that Solo is going to be involved in another match. And I don't know, like that's just so uninteresting, Randy Orton versus Solo Sikoa, if you ask me. You mentioned Rusev. I think there's a possibility that we get Rusev not in this match, but if, like, let's say Ludwig Kaiser, like, hijacks the show, he's like, I demand a WrestleMania match, and then out comes Rusev, and that could be, like, a return at WrestleMania, or maybe even just the Raw after Mania, but, like, we've been seeing Ludwig Kaiser, you know, like, saying he's disrespected and is being left off the Mania card. That's been a little bit of a micro program that's been working. I could see that, but let's go to the actual WrestleMania card. We'll start off at night one. Sancho, the War Raiders, Eric and Ivar going in as the World Tag Team Champions, defending against the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. I'll start this one off. I've already said this many, many times. This match has no business whatsoever
Say it. You said it more angrily.
I'm going to say it again. This match does not deserve to sniff WrestleMania air in any way, shape, or form. The talent in this match, sure, they're great. But if WWE isn't going to give a damn about this division, then why should I? Brother, they didn't even get to cut promos against each other. It was a disqualification finish in a match that, by the way, was also an afterthought because WWE was more focused on promoting whatever dumbass comedy special Tony Hinchcliffe was talking about the entire time. They didn't care about the match. They weren't even talking about the match. And then the next week, they get asynchronous promos, a pre-recorded promo from War Raiders and then New Day saying their same shtick. This match does not deserve on this show, and I hope that the only reason is on this show is because Big E is returning. That is my prediction. It's the only reason this match should even so much as be put in the same sentence as the word WrestleMania, because the match itself does not, but there could be a WrestleMania moment snuck in here to make it worth it. I am taking War Raiders retaining because of a Big E return. That is what I'm going with here, Sancho.
Okay, I like that idea. I think it is going to be the New Day winning because I feel that the tag team division cannot ride off the backs of the War Raiders. I think the New Day as a heel tag team can push that tag team into at least the spotlight for a little bit. And I think Big E does return, but it's a post-match altercation.
Okay.
I don't know if he's like cleared for a full in-ring and things like that, but I know he could come in there for the save at least, because the New Day is going to go like either over the edge. So they've been targeting the necks of Eric and Ivar throughout the past weeks. They kind of brought that up in the promo. So I think that they're going to go a little bit too much, and then Big E comes in for the save. At least like, hey guys, what are you doing type of vibe. But I think this division needs
hey guys!
Hey guys, please stop what you're doing. This is not cool. I think it's going to be that. I mean, Big E has been off of TV for a while, right? He hasn't done any of the shows or post shows or
social media. I don't watch those, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't watch those.
I think this, it has to be the New Day, and if it's going to kick off Mania, I think they at least the match is going to bang in terms of just in ring, like you mentioned. So
yeah, I have absolutely nothing but the best to say about what this match could be in ring. Yep. My complaint is just it's so unfortunate, Sancho, that this is the longest Mania build of all time. This is the deepest that WrestleMania has been into the year, and they still managed to find a way to hand in their assignment at 11:59 p.m. How, with all of these extra episodes of Raw and SmackDown, could you not give one more episode of build or care to this feud? It's so unfortunate what they're doing here. And unfortunately, this isn't the only match that suffers from this. I'm going to continue to reiterate, it sounds like you and I are on the same boat, that this has to have Big E if this is on the WrestleMania card. I'm kind of indifferent as to who wins here. I'm just going to go. I think you have Big E coming in after they win. I have Big E coming in preventing them from winning. So it's not too different of a prediction.
Isn't it I after E, except after C, some of that?
Yeah, kind of. I believe. I before Big E.
Oh!
How did you leave that one on the table? It was right there for you.
I'm rusty.
All right, moving on here. Let's talk about Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano singles match for the pride of Lucha Libre. I took the last one. Sancho, I'll pass this over to you. What have you thought about this feud, and what are your thoughts on this match and predictions?
It's going to bum me out, but I wish that WWE went all in onto this El Grande Americano. They kind of are just dipping their toe in this, and it's a shame that this character is going to die off so quickly. It reminds me of another Marvel thing where, like, the villain is so cool, and you love this villain, and they just die in the same movie. You're like, oh, come on, man. At least we could get this guy for multiple movies. See, this guy could be the Zemo of the WWE. Just let him be around for a while, and I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, you cannot introduce a quote-unquote controversial character, and I say that lightly, and I know there's people out there that do take offense to El Grande Americano, and I'm not going to discount your feelings, but Rey Mysterio, as the babyface, needs to overcome El Grande Americano because he's disrespecting luchadors, and it will be an unmasking and a grand reveal that it is going to be, allegedly, Chad Gable. I do feel, though, that I've been gaslit by Chad Gable that it's going to be somebody else. I don't know how. I think a switcheroo. I don't know how. They're going to mess with me so badly because they do have a body double already of Grande Americano because they used it with Chad Gable already. So I'm going to have Rey winning. Shout out to Rey. Great year, by the way. Rey has great in-ring. He's looked great against Julius Creed, 50-plus years old, and he looks amazing. I'll take Rey Mysterio, and I'm hoping that the WWE finds a way to keep this ruse that it's not, allegedly, not Chad Gable.
I love the idea of El Grande Americano getting unmasked, and it's just what we weren't expecting. I think that would be such comedy gold. I hope they find a way to pull it off, and we already have, the blueprint in place. We saw that El Grande Americano getting escorted back out of the arena when Chad Gable was on screen. So, I mean, it's clear proof that it's just not Chad Gable. This has been a fun little build. Like, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the fact that it's given the lesser members of both factions the ability to be able to shine in the lead up to it. Mm-hmm. Like Joaquin and Cruz del Toro, like, really impressed me recently. This was a crash course reminder of how good Dragon Lee is. And then, of course, Julius and Brutus have just been absolutely cooking as well. I think that this feud has done its job, which is elevating everybody. I really do believe that. And I am excited to see what this match is going to look like from an in-ring perspective, because I think if given like 8 to 10 minutes, this could be a really, really fun under 10-minute match. I love under 10-minute matches. I think I've voiced that before. Like, if they're really, really good under 10-minute matches, those are the ones that I'm like, that's the one I want to show to a friend, right? Under 10-minute bangers. And I feel like this could fit that mold. I am going to go with Rey Mysterio winning here. I do believe that we're going to get the unmasking of El Grande Americano. I do believe as well that we'll get the big brawl shenanigans with all of the teams coming out, getting to do all of their crazy moves and stuff, which is exactly what happened in Rey Mysterio's match last year with Legado coming out, with the football players coming out, with LWO coming out. I'm sure we'll get that moment as well.
it's going to be Mysterio rules. Mira.
Mama Grande. All right.
God, so, dude, there's a timeline where Rey is champion, and that's happening.
That's happening.
There's a timeline out there, dude.
So we're both Rey here, yeah?
Both Rey Mysterio, but and I am shocked that both of us want El Grande Americano to survive. Some way, somehow, dude. Oh, sleeper added little bonus, little sprinkle. El Generico makes an appearance.
Oh, that would be so funny. Perfect.
This is a perfect place. Yeah. Perfect place. Because, you know, he's a good friend of Sami Zayn.
Yep.
Sami has been around on TV. I know he's resting after that great Canadian mania. El Generico would be a perfect kind of like a, what is it, like a cherry on top. Like if you know, you know type
if
of
if you know, you know.
Like Easter egg.
Now, in the video games, he goes by El Ordinario. Do you think that we get El Generico or El Ordinario here? WWE Ooh, likes to change the name of indie legends. You know that.
Yeah,
you know
that. I hate that. I despise that. No, I thought it would die with Vince, but Triple H seems to continue that.
I mean, it was Toto Americano worldwide, and then it became El Grande Americano. So, yeah, we might get El Ordinario instead of El Generico. All right, let's move on here. Another singles match, this time in the women's category. We have Jade Cargill versus Naomi. Sasha, the first singles women's match at WrestleMania that's not for a title in 19 years. In 19 years, and based on the storyline and the talent, deserved. I think that this is absolutely a Mania match. Something that I've said through and through is that, you know, without like the crazy glitz and glamour of like titles or crazy swerves or anything like that, this is maybe the best built WrestleMania match. Just like from a grassroots build, this is maybe the best built WrestleMania match. I'll take this one first since you took the last one. I'm going to go Jade Cargill. I'm going to go Jade Cargill because I think Naomi has transformed herself in a way where she is now a one of one. When she was the Glow, she was like the fifth most popular babyface at any given time, right? This Naomi here has the ability to stand out entirely on her own. This character, there is nothing else like this Naomi going on. So if she were to lose, I don't think that this is going to be a Nakamura situation where she loses all credibility and all aura. I think that she can continue to be a menace in the women's division in the main event scene. She can continue to be a problem. And with this new character and this new demeanor and her justifications, she's going to continue to stand out as maybe one of the top heels in the women's division. Jade Cargill is the one that needs the win here. They're the ones... Jade Cargill is already the one that they're teasing to go up against like a Charlotte Flair and already trying to tease like for bigger main event things for her. I think that Jade Cargill needs the win and Naomi could stomach the loss here. I'm going to go with Jade Cargill.
I'm going to go on the same boat. I think it's going to be a squash match because I feel like this is going to be, stick with me here, an equivalent of Batman and Joker, right? Where Naomi's not going to lose the soul of whatever she's going for in a fist fight with Jade. She knows she's going to lose against Jade type of vibe. And this is going to be like the coming out of a darker, sinister Naomi who enjoys to be beaten down, who wants to relish the pain. I mean, the hidden kind of metaphors and the symbolism that she has with all the razor blades, right? That is not an accident, right? It's supposed to be that if you're going to cross swords, whether you're going to tangle with Naomi, you're not going to walk away the same person. And I think it'd be interesting to see how brutal Jade Cargill can be, how ferocious she can be, how physical she could be. And I think that's going to be a great highlight for her. And it is the WWE needs Jade to deliver. They've put so much investment into her. And this is her first singles Mania match that if it's not work out here, then I don't know. Like you mentioned, it could lead to the Biancas. It could lead to the Charlottes. If it doesn't work with Naomi, because Naomi can make anyone look really good. But I want a Dark Knight, Heath Ledger in an interrogation room laughing while getting beaten down type of vibe.
You want her to go, you think that I'd risk losing the battle for Bianca's soul in a fist fight with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, brother. And then Kyrie Bane comes out.
Yes. Come on. Yeah, I want all that. And I want to have like a... Like, I want Naomi to be able to, again, survive this and do more sinister things. Give her a house invasion angle. Let her. You know, like when she first appeared, I had the first inkling of Alicia Fox, but I was like, Alicia Fox was so surface level, one note caricature.
Oh, when she went crazy. When she went crazy.
And I was like, I liked it at first, but then it just got too childish and it just became one note. And I think the WWE had no idea what to do with her, or Vince's regime had no idea what to do with Alicia Fox, and they just made her look crazy for crazy's sake. I think with Triple H, you could dive deeper and continue going down to this psychotic path that Naomi is exploring. This is a strange bridge to build, but in that Swerve Strickland type of vibe, where Swerve Strickland is, you know, going into people's houses and messing with kids. You know, they like, it's a, that kind of a strange kind of connection.
And then getting beat down and Prince Nana's in the back. Just
there is something there that I think that you're right. There's so much. It's like a striking goal, like finding oil again in this new, like, wow, there's so much more depth to Naomi that we could explore. And I feel like as Jade Cargill, she is less of that depth. But it's really, really good that we need to kind of protect it going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Jade Cargill it is. Moving on.
We're on the same page so far. Same page. A little bit of the difference.
Yeah. In the first one, there was a little bit of a difference, but we basically had the same roadmap where it's Biggie, right?
Yeah.
I'll let you run with this one, brother. L.A. Knight, United States Championship match versus Jacob Fatu. Sancho, go ahead, put on those glasses. Let me know what you've thought about this feud and your prediction.
I gotta say, man, what a great time to be an LA Knight Glazer, the LA Knight Glaze Factory. For those of you who are new, we've been operating in a very dark and scary time, you know. We had the Spirit Halloween signs up for a little bit. We were worried. We were all looking for jobs on LinkedIn. We're not sponsored by LinkedIn. And we were concerned that our future livelihood was going to go at an all-time low. And all of a sudden, like a phoenix rising out of the ashes of the terrible regime of Shinsuke Nakamura, out came a bright phoenix bird. And flying high was L.A. Knight, who, by the way, continues to bring that mid-card to a fun, an absolute delight. Not only bringing back the mid-card, but resurrecting the one and only Braun Strowman. So we are all gas here in the mid-card for the SmackDown. And who is going to be our next biggest star? Jacob Fatu is definitely going to be that next one. Now, I predict that this Mania match is going to be the coming out party for Jacob Fatu. He's going to introduce the entire world to the greatness of Jacob Fatu and the potential of the Samoan Werewolf and get everybody on the hype train for him. And unfortunately, Solo Sikoa is going to be the one that derails that train to set up a backlash match between Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. So I do predict LA Knight going to win here, because I think he's still doing great things for the mid-card of SmackDown. They're letting him carry the ball a little bit longer. But this is going to be the coming out party for Jacob Fatu, and it's going to be the cementing of his face turn. Thank you very much.
Okay, no, wait. Who wins, though?
LA Knight.
LA, okay, so
some Solo Sikoa.
Got it. Okay, I wasn't sure when you were saying that, when you had the interference happening, whether you had Solo coming out attacking in a post-match celebration or whatever. So you have LA Knight winning because of Solo Sikoa. Got it. I have Jacob Fatu winning. I have Jacob Fatu winning this unless there are pre-match, during match shenanigans. I see no world how Jacob Fatu doesn't win this, right? The way that he's been protected, even when he gets interfered, like, this guy is just not somebody to get pinned. And I just don't see it happening where he gets pinned by LA Knight in any capacity. I do have Jacob Fatu winning. I think he's like the next big shiny toy of the upper mid card for the WWE. And I do believe that there is going to be a turn, Solo turning on Jacob out of jealousy, but at the SmackDown after, like a celebration, a tribal celebration or whatever it is that you want to call it. I think it would be almost too formulaic and almost at this point like a tradition to have Solo Sikoa interfere in a match, because that would be three straight WrestleManias that he does it at.
I wanted the same way. Hoodie and everything.
Same thing. Like, oh no, who could be in the hoodie? So I am going to go with a little bit of a different change this year. I don't think that Solo is going to have the traditional involvement. I think it'd be interesting if he helps Jacob Fatu win, and Jacob is very angry and unappreciative, and that's what causes Solo to later on down the line attack Jacob Fatu. So I'm going to go Jacob Fatu winning, and this friction between Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa takes back seat until after WrestleMania, but it will happen, and it will be because Jacob is champion and Solo isn't. Okay. That's my prediction.
I like it. As a president and manager of the Glaze Factory, I'm not allowed to vote against LA Knight.
You have to be partisan.
It's in the manual. It's in the manual.
It's in the workers' handbook. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on here to the WWE Women's Championship match. Tiffany Stratton going in as the champion, defending against one Charlotte Flair, the inevitable one. I'll run with this one. Sancho, this has simultaneously been the worst and best built feud of WrestleMania. This was terrible. It wasn't working. The chemistry between these two was completely non-existent, to the point where it got petty. And it seemed like it got real. And then once it got petty and real, I was reeled in. I've been calling this feud mission failed successfully, because I feel like they reeled me in and they reeled the majority of fans into this feud with what they weren't intending to do. But it worked. And now WWE is leaning a little bit more into it. And now I'm just excited to see this match. You know, we've been talking about the fact that it feels like Charlotte Flair has kind of been like verbally sandbagging Tiffany Stratton throughout and kind of like stepping over her. And it's been very apparent. And then we saw Tiffany Stratton hit back and then leave Charlotte Flair kind of like looking up at stars. What I'm hoping for is that even though they clearly cannot work well together in building a storyline and promos, I'm hoping that Charlotte Flair specifically is so egotistical that she wants to have the best match of the night. And I've said this before, the only way to do that is to make the other person look like $1 million as well. It's not the same as looking like $1 million on your own in a promo, right? The only way to look good in a match is if you both look good, if the other person can make you look good. So I'm hoping that this is one of those situations where this match is just unbelievably good. The talent is there, clearly, right? Like Tiffany Stratton is excellent. Charlotte Flair, as much as people want to hate her, she delivers at WrestleMania. Like her Mania matches are like more often than not like talked about points, like very, very good matches. And I'm hoping that that is the case here. This could be the sleeper match of the night, of night one. That being said, brother, I'm taking Charlotte Flair. I don't think that the babyface Tiffany Stratton experiment has fully worked. And I feel like part of the reason why it hasn't worked is because she became a babyface as the gatekeeper as opposed as the chaser. If she were to chase down the championship from the evil, tyrannical Charlotte Flair, I think that that would work a lot better. I feel like that would be a much more natural babyface thing to do for a Tiffany Stratton. So I do have Charlotte Flair winning. I do have Tiffany Stratton afterwards trying to chase this championship. And part of the reason why I have Charlotte Flair winning here, Sancho, is because WWE kind of showed me their hand when they did that little face-off between Charlotte Flair and Jade Cargill. I got Jade Cargill winning, and then Jade Cargill being the main opposition to Charlotte Flair going into something like a SummerSlam. So I think Charlotte Flair wins here. Like I've been saying for years, death, taxes, and Charlotte Flair winning championships that people don't think she deserves.
The reason why I was like shocked at why you say that, if Charlotte's not playing fair for Tiffy, there's no way that Jade could even be any close, right? There's just no way there could be anything as strong and juicy as the Tiffany Stratton thing. I think that WWE have uncovered something kind of unique and special here. And it is it's a very towing the line type of situation, Santi. It's playing with fire when they're diving into these situations where they dove into Charlotte's past and personal life, and they're diving into Tiffany Stratton's personal life. It's rare for the WWE to kind of put in the storyline of somebody dating, you know. They usually do it when they're married, right? That's when they feel like, oh, we could go ahead and dive into this. But for two characters who are on complete opposites of Ludwig and Tiffany Stratton dating, that's kind of rare for me in this kind of era. And for that, I have a bold pick, my friend. I think this ends in a very nasty in the DQ, all right? It's an ugly finish. No one wants a DQ in Mania, right? No one does. But the women get into it so much so that this feud lasts until Backlash. I feel that they have uncovered something a little late in the game, and I want more of it before, because it feels like this is now a stepping stone, because they discovered how this personal thing, and then Charlotte attacking, even in street clothes, I thought that was great. I still think there's so much more on the table that we would leave if we just ended at Mania. This needs to go a little bit farther, a little bit more cycle, and if it leads to a Backlash and that's it, that's fine, but I think that WWE could support Ludwig Kaiser being involved and have an interesting triangle, and I know the WWE love triangles because they did really well. I'm not saying Ludwig and Charlotte getting involved romantically. I'm just saying there is something there that the WWE loves the social media vortex when the show's off air that worked really well with Rhea, Liv, and Dom. So I'm going to pick a no DQ, a DQ finish because Charlotte goes overboard, or the ladies go overboard, kind of like a brawl style.
Don't you feel like we can still do all of that stuff with a definitive winner, though? I don't think this feud is over. Definitive winner or DQ.
Right.
It's going to keep going.
It's a valid point. I think that's a good question. I think if Charlotte cheats to the point where it's blatant, yeah. And I just feel that before this was a Tiffy and a Charlotte trying to take usurp the old guard to take the bat, to run with the entire women's division. And I think Tiffy's not ready for that. So I think it's going to be a more uglier type of match. Does that make sense?
No, I hear you.
It needs to be ugly for me to see where it can go, because I feel like we untap something really cool that I think we're going to throw away for just a simple, clean finish.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a clean finish. I do see Charlotte cheating to win in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair still here. I think it would be a huge bummer if this were to end in a disqualification, especially considering this is a feud that started as a huge bummer. So to go bummer, I'm interested to bummer. I don't think that's the right roller coaster I want
to
be on.
It has to be like a DQ that we've never seen before. And I'm asking for something that we've never seen before. Okay. A Mania moment, you know? We saw Tiffy jump off a Titantron, for crying out loud. So I think there's potential for something like that. I just don't see a world where Tiffany losing keeps the feud going for some reason. I feel like if Tiffany loses, they'll give her Roxy. And that's fine. I think Roxy and Tiffany are awesome chemistry-wise, and Charlotte moves on to Jade. But I still think there's room for this feud for more, or I hope they pick it up later. If they go your route, I hope they revisit this feud later. Because there's something there that we finally got to. You know when you lick a Tootsie Pop and you finally get to the center? You know, you might be tired. Don't throw it away. We still got the chocolate inside, brother.
Yeah, you got there. You finally got to it. You earned it.
Finally got there. We licked it. We licked to the point there, brother.
All right, let's move on here. We've got Gunther versus Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. I took the last one, Sancho. I'll pass this one over to you. Give me your thoughts.
Give me
and
the
prediction.
Most controversial one to predict.
Man, I'm just going back and forth, brother. I wanted to make sure you got the LA Knight one, and this is just how the cookie crumbled.
I appreciate that. Jey Uso and Gunther. I know I talked about that the War Raiders and New Day open Mania. I think this one opens Mania. To give the thing about Jey Uso and Gunther is it's a different movie every week. One type of thing, it's a Christopher Nolan Inception, dark, sinister, fun, intense. And then the next minute, it's a popcorn action movie that it's light and funny, and it's like a Will Ferrell movie that's just all shenanigans. And I think that's mainly both Jey and Gunther's chemistry, and then they don't know where they want to lead to. I think this match would be a little bit more serious. I think Jey is going to get hit with everything underneath the sun, and Jey is going to survive and win. I think knowing that Jey's mother is going to be in the crowd distracts Gunther again. Is going to be in the crowd again. So I think it's going to distract Gunther, and Gunther's going to take his eye off the ball as per usual and lose. I just don't like the juxtapositions of both Gunther and Jey, where they're not on the same page promo wise. When Jey is serious, Gunther is passive. When Gunther is aggressive, Jey is not serious. And it just, to me, I wish the both promos were on the same page. So we could, if we ever got an emotional Jey Uso with the intense ring general, we could actually get something going. But right now, is this too hot and cold, man? One second, it's not, it's like, the most serious thing, and the next it's a party. So it's so confusing to me. And for that, I think they're going to go back to serious, and Jay does come out on top, because if Jay loses here with no bloodline, remember, there's bloodline doesn't exist in this world anymore. There's no reason for someone to interfere in this match to stop Jey Uso from reaching the mountain summit. And for that, I think Jay wins in a clean way, but because Gunther's hubris gets in the way again.
Yeah, like it did with Sami Zayn and his wife, taunting the wife, taunting the family.
Yeah. Mama Uso.
Us. I could absolutely see this going the same way. I do get what you're saying with the feud as well. Like, if you like, in the last 3 weeks they finally figured it out, and then I found it really weird on like the go home episode of Raw that Gunther cuts like that blood curdling promo. That's like one of the best promos that I've heard all year.
I bathe in your brother's blood, and I'm gonna drown. You're lucky I didn't drown you. Yeah. Your brother and your brother's
and
blood.
Then I'm going to go talk to my mom and talk about how I bathed in your blood. And God, I'm like, oh my God, what's Jay going to say to this? Hey, play my music again. Oh man. Like, why did we go from like serious to party? Like, you're right.
It
you're right.
Match.
You're right. Matching. That's I said as much in the Raw review, exclusively available on Patreon. And I mean, I felt like a grouch when I pointed that out, but it's true. Like, the juxtaposition of how they're trying to jump from angry, serious to party, like, it doesn't land very well. But either way,
it's like a CD mixtape. You know, when you made it, you ever made like a burned CD that had like all different emotions? You just kept going back and forth. What was that? John Mayer and Little Luda at the same time. Like, wait a minute, what are we doing here, man?
Oh man, I got like collecting your jar of hearts immediately followed by like some Pitbull party song. I do have Jey Uso winning here. I think you can only dangle the carrot to Jey Uso being a main event world champion guy so many times before people just stop buying it, right? And now you're at the point where you put him in one of the Mania, like, showcase main event, not closer, but main event matches. You had him win the Royal Rumble, the most stacked Royal Rumble of all time. If you don't pull the trigger on him now, it's just not going to happen. And people will lose interest and stop believing in the idea of main event Jey Uso if he doesn't win here. I think Jay needs to win here. I know people want Gunther to win. Gunther's going to be fine. He just re-signed with the WWE. Man is now traveling in a tour bus. That was part of his negotiations. I think he's fine. And Gunther, let's just call a spade. He is the perfect final villain for a WrestleMania season for a babyface. And those villains, like the Triple H's of the world, they just lose at Mania. Triple H has a horrific WrestleMania record, and he's fine. He's literally getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. I do think that Jey Uso is going to win here. No ifs, ands, or buts. I think it's like a foregone conclusion. You know what's a shame, though? The fact that it took this long to get that Gunther. Isn't that the Gunther that we've been wanting since SummerSlam? Like, that promo that we got from Gunther, I've been wanting something a little bit more dangerous and serious over the last several months.
Yeah, but I didn't like we took a detour to Gunther wearing a red tie and not saying anything to somebody.
Keep talking. I've lost audio in my ears, but I'll be back. I'll figure this out.
He's going to figure this out. Again, Santi is not the best tech wizard in the world. He has 1,000 plugins. I don't even know if this is being recorded right now. If my voice is coming through to you, type one. It must have.
Oh, yeah. Your voice was still going. Your voice was still going.
Good. I said great things about you.
Did you?
I did.
Okay. All right. I hope that you did. Okay. So we're both Jay here then.
We're both Jay. I think for the sake of Jay, he needs to win. And that merch train keeps a coming. You know, we can't lose. Look, you got the Yeet glasses. You got Yeet foam hands. I didn't know you're such a big Jey Uso fan there, brother.
I am, dude. I pull out those Yeet hands to do inappropriate Yeets now. That's what I do. Whenever he says something really serious and sad, that's what I Yeet to. That's what I do.
That could go so many different ways.
Just Yeeting in inappropriate times.
Inappropriate Yeet should be a phase. A phrase that should never be uttered for your mouth again.
Gross. All right. Let's go to the main event of night one. We have the triple threat match. Roman Reigns versus CM Punk, who is going to come out with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins. I felt like the go-home episode of Raw, they nailed the last little bit that they needed to nail for this feud to really land, which was Seth Rollins just continuing to gaslight and manipulate everyone by using Paul Heyman as a figure piece. I still believe that Paul Heyman is not walking out with Seth Rollins. I do believe that Seth Rollins is going to win this, is my prediction. And it's going to be because of all of the seeds that he planted of doubt in Paul Heyman. There will be a moment in this match where push comes to shove, where Paul Heyman is going to be forced to pick between one of those two. And because of all of the seeds planted by Seth Rollins, all of the continuation, like seeds of doubt that have been sown, he won't be able to make a decision and open up a window for Seth Rollins to be able to pick up the victory. That's my prediction. I love this feud, yeah, by the way. I really have. I love how they managed to finally connect all three of them together with the Paul Heyman aspect. But when this feud started, this felt like a charity handoff to CM Punk. Like, here's your Mania main event, right? But then they found a story device to finally connect these three in such a way where it makes sense that these three want to kill each other, as opposed to just separate feuds happening within one match.
Here's my prediction. There was a promo that Seth did with Paul that was strange, but it was cool at the same time, where he said something like, what's the price? Is it that much? And he kept pushing him. Is it this much? What's the price for someone to come to save you? And I think that was a hint to what's going to happen at Mania. There's going to be an opportunity for either CM Punk or Roman Reigns to win. And what Seth is going to do, he's going to break up the pin by attacking Paul Heyman. He's going to get brutal with Paul Heyman. He's going to attack him. He's going to curb stomp him. Thus leaving CM Punk or Roman to decide, is it worth saving Paul or winning the match? Like, that's the price that you're going to pay. Right?
That'd be fire.
So then you get to see who is the true Paul Heyman guy. Who is the true friend? Who is the true wise man, right? Already Roman kind of discarded him. And CM Punk, who said, I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money, I think he's going to choose to beat Roman and show his true colors, whereas Roman, who truly loves the wise man, is going to save Paul Heyman.
Oh.
It's an interesting thing. And I didn't think about this until that Seth Rollins promo. It's like, why? What did that mean? And I think Seth Rollins was testing the waters to see who is going to, you know, make the play for Paul Heyman. So Seth Rollins is going to win. If he does lose, that's going to be his winning moment, is showing the true colors of CM Punk. So if that prediction happens, and then CM Punk would win. Does that make sense?
I really like that.
True colors. Thank you.
I really like Seth Rollins basically holding Paul Heyman hostage in a situation, and that'll bring out the true colors of either Roman or CM Punk. Like, who's the one that's willing to sacrifice winning the match in order to save their precious Paul Heyman? That's honestly kind of brilliant. I like that. I like it, Picasso. Let's move on to night two. Let's start off with another.
I swear to God, if I see that in a video from you later on, you give me credit.
I will never give you credit for anything. Man, the amount of times that I steal fun ideas from people in the chat, and then the next day in the chat, they're like, dude, what the hell? I'm like,
you walk into my world, you should have a disclaimer. Anything said in here would be mine. We love chat.
Yeah, we love you guys. All right, let's move on to night two. Let's start with another token tag team match here. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley.
Wow, token tag team. Jesus,
token tag team match, man.
Jesus.
This match also does not deserve to be here. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. This is the epitome of a match for the sake of a match. Not only that, man, like, you've had like weeks, extra weeks to build this Mania, and you still found a way to do this last minute. I don't get it. I don't get why, when your division is this deep, why rush this? When Liv Morgan is so popular, why rush this? I don't understand. Liv Morgan was on the sideline for literal months, and you couldn't have done anything. They did zero effort in building Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez as champions after they won the tag titles. They like forgot that they won the tag titles. And now, last minute, they throw on this 45-minute gauntlet match full of tag teams that aren't tag teams, that are vying for a tag team championship match at WrestleMania of all places. And they're trying to tell me I should care about this? Brother, WWE, if you don't care about it, why should the fans care about it? Here's the thing, Sancho, just like New Day and War Raiders, this is going to be a banger match. It just is. The talent in there is great. It's going to be a good match. I fail to understand. Somebody needs to make me understand why they couldn't have given a sliver of care to this feud and to this division, as opposed to just hodgepodge last minute, come up with what is a token tag team match.
I think this is a glaring issue in the WWE that needs to be discussed more. Not only this tag team division, but you mentioned the War Raiders, the United States women's title, and the IC women's title are not having proper feuds and proper spotlights for this Mania, especially the women's mid-card titles. It is a shame that Lyra Valkyria is in this match as well. She should have her own IC title match. The match that Lyra and Bayley had, like you mentioned, should have been at Mania. That was a great match. It would have been a great filler, like not necessarily a filler match, but a great in-between type of like unexpected EO and Bayley type of vibe. Like, oh my God, this actually was a banger of a match that no one's going to really, people would forget unless you're a real one, you know? So Lyra and Bayley in this match don't make sense, but I think more glaringly is that mistreatment of the mid-card from the women's titles. Instead of having this match, we could have had the IC title match and United, like, Liv Morgan could be going for the United States title match. I know it'd be heel versus heel, but something like that for Liv to bite her teeth into. Even the IC title Liv Morgan could have been a part of. This is a complete disservice to Liv Morgan's recent year, who has outshined every opportunity she's done. Raquel Rodriguez, even though there are moments where she has a blunder there and there, like when she... It wasn't her fault when they were the foot on the moment here with Bayley versus Liv on the go-home. It wasn't her fault, but there's so much opportunities here, and I think they're just using this as a launch pad for Lyra and Bayley, or a possible Bayley heel turn, which would be a bummer because Naomi just turned heel, right? I don't need Bayley and Naomi to be both heel. I think Bayley and Naomi could exist in the world as heel and babyface.
That could be a feud, right?
Right. That's a good feud. That's a great feud for Naomi to consider how far off the deep end she's gone, and where Bayley could be like, hey, Naomi, what are you doing? This is not who you are. I'm surprised Bayley hasn't even talked about Naomi, right? Going off the deep end. So there is so much room for that. But at the end of the day, Liv Morgan needed to be at Mania. I'll take it. I'll give Liv the win just to have her keep the gold. And it's important for Judgment Day for Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez to have gold, because later on with the Fatal 4-Way, I think Finn Balor, just to dip into that, cannot have the gold. Because if Finn wins and without Liv and Raquel having... Does it make sense? Like, Liv and Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez have gold, so they have more power over Finn Balor.
Okay. Yeah, I've got Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez retaining. I realized I went on a rant and I didn't say who was winning here. I think they're retaining. It doesn't make sense.
We kind of knew what you were saying, big guy.
Yeah, it does. It literally makes no sense for Bayley and Lyra to be champions, like at all whatsoever. Moving on here to AJ Styles versus Logan Paul.
Hey, Logan. You ever been to Japan?
You ever been to Japan?
You ever been to Japan, Logan?
Actually, I'll pass this one over to you. What are your thoughts on this feud and your prediction?
I find it so interesting here that Karrion Kross kind of saved this feud a little bit, where he was trying to get to AJ to say, AJ, you are representing pro wrestling and you need to win this match. This is important because you can't have someone like a part-timer and Logan Paul who just disrespects the sport to come in and win. So AJ, I need you to untap to get to your Bullet Club, your TNA self, to get this point. So it was really cool that we got that last little nugget before we came into Mania. And so I'm predicting AJ Styles to win here. I think a Logan Paul win would not give AJ momentum into his last few years. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think AJ needs momentum more so than Logan Paul. Logan Paul, despite being a full-timer, hasn't really been a full-timer. He's only wrestled once on Raw. I think it was against Rey. So... Or he debuted the new Pulverizer, which is a sick move. Like, I hate that it's so good.
It's a great name, like, too. It's a great name.
Great name. And, dude, AJ could make any move look like $1 million. And when he gets hit with the Pulverizer, it looks like $1 billion with AJ Styles. That's how cool it is. Because there's, like, a moment where AJ, like, hangs in the air in that DDT hold and then, bam, gets impaled. So I'm hoping AJ Styles win. Because AJ is a character that he's in the last few years of his career. He already said on Chris Van Vliet's podcast that he's not wrestling after 50, brother. So I want to give AJ the win here.
That's partly why I also gave AJ the victory in my predictions. I think that Logan Paul's victory here is looking awesome, right? Just putting on a great match, getting a viral moment. AJ Styles, I think he needs to build some momentum to like Clash in Paris, man. I think he's going to be in the main event of Clash in Paris, challenging whoever it might be for the WWE Championship. I think that they're going to give AJ one last run challenging main eventers in his last year and a bit of his WWE career. Like you said, he already plans to retire and not go into 51, 52 as a professional wrestler. I think Logan's win here is a big viral moment, and AJ Styles actually winning the match gives AJ Styles, somebody who's there every single week, much more needed momentum than Logan Paul needs. Logan Paul doesn't need momentum. Logan Paul is momentum. He shows up and it matters, right? Like, but I do think that somebody that's there every single week, like AJ, needs that momentum push from this match. The other question is who, if we have anybody, who's in the prime bottle? Because I've been predicting Mr. Beast. Yeah, yeah. I think we're both on the in the same train there. Mr. Beast, their partnership between Feastables, Prime, and Lunchly makes sense.
It will never top iShow Speed in that prime bottle, though. Oh God!
I don't know. I like so KSI. Good. KSI's mask reveal was funny, so dude. Funny, yeah. Though, man.
And then KSI screaming while Seth Rollins pulls him on top of the table.
I think that was better than iShow Speed.
I don't know, dude. Randy Orton pun kicking him like Spartan
kick. Yeah, that was great. That
and
was
then
great.
The bottle top flew up, and yeah. then he picked him up and barked in his face, and then gave him an RKO on the table.
I just don't think Mr. Beast has the charisma to be able to be as memorable as KSI as iShow Speed.
I laugh at your point that Logan one's viral because when I play Fortnite, stick with me here, don't groan. When I play Fortnite, I just want the clip. I don't want to win. I go for the viral clip, and if I lose and I get a clip, I'm still happy.
You know, I think that's Logan. I think Logan wants the moment that you'll talk about, even if he loses the match, who cares? You'll be talking about Logan. You'll be talking about the moment with the prime bottle, which helps his business. I think that that's the win for Logan here. Let's move on to the fatal four-way match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. We've got Bron Breakker defending his championship against Penta versus Finn Balor and versus Dominic Mysterio. Sancho, I have a question for you, all right? This is a fun Vegas odd since we're in Vegas.
Ooh.
Over, under, 4.5 spears in this match. It's actually a really, really good Vegas line because there's three people.
Is it a real line?
I don't know if it's a real line. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the real line because you've got three people that are each going to eat a spear, right? I think we can.
Right.
That's three right off the rip. Do we get one or two more after that? Over or under 4.5 spears, Sancho?
I think it's going to be under. Under.
We think we get? Do you think that we get four?
A solid three.
The solid three.
I think a solid three. I think what's... You mind if I take this one real quick?
Go ahead.
Okay. So this is a quite interesting fatal four-way. I think we actually fell into this one quite nicely. Of course, we didn't know that that Penta would be at Mania, and here we are. But because remember, out of nowhere, Penta was like, I want to go for the IC title.
No, for the Continental title. That's what he said.
You stupid. Right. The Continental
Thank you.
Title.
Marie, Thank you stupid.
So I'm glad that Penta's involved in this because it would have been a nice three-way with Braun, Finn, and Dom. And it would have been interesting because basically it'd be a two-on-one for a long time, which it worked really well with Randy and KO and Logan at their Mania. So I kind of like that aspect. But now that we have this four-way, I think we're going to get a lot of crazy moments. But the real drama for me in this match is Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio for the fighting over Judgment Day. The longest time, I think, like, it reminds me of those superhero movies where, like, if the villain gets his final gold, and that's not going to be good news for everybody, and Finn Balor with gold will be very annoying at this time. I would love Finn to win because I think Finn needs a win, and Finn Balor fans would rise, and I think Finn could carry that momentum to greater things. But for the story of the Judgment Day that's been built, I think Dom's going to win this match. Dom's going to win this match. And Dom as the IC title would be an historic run. I hope it goes a little bit longer, but it's not going to be clean. It's Dirty Dom. You know, there's a reason why he's dirty. And I think he's going to win because the third man of the Judgment Day, who's going to get introduced, a new member, is going to help him. And I think Carlito eats a nasty spear here. It's been built up so much, and Carlito's already ran away from the second spear. I think he got double spear. So I think Carlito eats something nasty here where he's going to chew his apple and then he's going to get speared and while Apple's just gonna like spit out. And but yeah, I think the new member gets introduced. My gut tells me it's like Rusev, bro. The Redeemer.
We'll see.
Who loves video games? Rusev does. And who has a PlayStation 5 on the roster? The Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole catalyst. Rusev, right? they got the PS5.
Yeah, dude.
So before, I think everybody knows I'm going for Dominic Mysterio, but like you mentioned like a funny finish. How funny would it be if Carlito does get speared, right?
Yeah.
In the ring by Bron Breakker. He spits out his apple, accidentally spits it in Finn Balor's eye, and then Dominic rolls up a blind Finn Balor. That would be such a funny finish. Listen, I would love a crazy finish like that. I would rather a finish where you don't expect Dominic to win rather than like a new member coming in. I do think a new member, it makes like the most sense. Like Ethan Page. Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. If he were to win like Ethan Page, that would be absolutely legendary, even if it's already been done before, like The Simpsons. But hey, man, sometimes WWE should just explore their greatest hits. I do think that Dominic Mysterio is going to win. The way that this story has been told, you know, with Finn Balor constantly belittling not just Dominic Mysterio, but the idea of a new member of the Judgment Day, I think it's poetic for both of those things to kind of take the podium, both Dominic Mysterio standing tall and because of a new member of the Judgment Day that Finn Balor has been rejecting for so long. I have Dominic Mysterio winning here as well. Just continuing to follow those footsteps of the Eddie Guerrero ladder, right? That's how he's, you know, IC champion, you know, with his own mamacita. Come on. It's too perfect. It's too perfect. Give me Dom Dom.
I feel what this would do, though, when Finn loses, he will go on the shelf for a while. Maybe they'll do where they introduce the third member at the Raw after Mania, a la Judgment Day with Edge. How Edge got usurped from the Judgment Day as well. So I think if Finn gets usurped by the new member, then what that would lead to is like Finn goes away and then maybe he comes back when JD comes back around from injury. I think that would be awesome tag team to come back and kind of repackage Finn Balor a little bit.
To throw out a Sancho-like terrible booking idea, what if it's Omos?
Why do you like this? By the way, I saw the Royal Rumble with AJ and Omos in the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
That kind of worked, right? Where AJ was getting thrown out of the ring and Omos would catch him. Like, that sure. was a, like, I could kind of see that.
Wait, what if Omos becomes Dom Dom's protector? Dom Dom lives. I kind of like that.
And then rides on his shoulders.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. That'd be so funny. Yeah.
Who used to do that? Didn't someone used to do that? It was AJ.
I think it was AJ. Even Liv Morgan did it with Rhea Ripley when they were attacked. Yeah, I don't know. Let's move on here. What I think could be the match of the whole show, it just based on talent alone, the women's triple threat match for the Women's World Championship, Io Sky defending against Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. I'll take this one. I've liked the build and at times and not liked the build at times. Like, it's been fine, but there's been some very questionable, unnecessarily long things. It's funny because we've talked about feuds where they gave them no love at all, no even attempt to build. And then this is a feud where I would say they tried too hard with almost like artificially making it longer by making us wait for Rhea Ripley to finally be announced to be part of this match week after week after week. They kind of like holding off this announcement with different types of segments. I felt like this feud tried too hard, but I'm still in for it. I'm still entertained by it. I think if anything, this has been a really fascinating, almost like a social study on WWE fandom, kind of seeing Io Sky's stock and popularity rise, seeing Bianca's go down with the fans as she's getting more boos and more jeers, and Rhea Ripley, who's clearly the bad guy. Even in her most recent pre-recorded promo on Monday Night Raw, very clearly the bad guy, still the most popular out of these three. It's just so interesting seeing fan dynamics as this feud has played out. But so far, to me, the biggest winner of this feud has been Io Sky. Io Sky has elevated her stock the most out of these three. I do think that the storyline of Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley paying too much attention to each other, as we've seen in the buildup to this and kind of belittling Io Sky, is going to be the reason why Io Sky wins. I do think Io Sky is going to end up picking up the victory here because Bianca and Rhea are so focused on each other. But that will also allow us to then build to the dream match, the singles dream match, maybe at this first two-night SummerSlam of Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. If we're anticipating that Bianca and Jade is going to be continuously pushed back as Jade's still a babyface and Jade maybe goes after Charlotte Flair, this would probably be the next best kind of like major feud for Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley while Io Sky goes on to defend the championship against other people. I got Io Sky winning here, brother.
The thing is, though, you say other people as if there is somebody, but who? Who?
I mean,
you can't have Liv Morgan because Liv's a tag team title holder.
Sure.
You can't have. There's like that's my biggest question mark. Is like, who would Io Sky feud with?
It could be individual matches against Bianca and Rhea where they once again get themselves involved and cost one another. I just think that the end goal here is Bianca Rhea. And I don't think that needs a title here.
I feel that it's interesting when you introduce these mid-card titles to the women. I don't think the WWE expected them, like, they need to get into NXT then. They need the dip into NXT to give Io someone to feud with. That would be interesting to me, especially for a SummerSlam match. I just feel that it's like, where's Nia? Where's Candice LeRae? Do people want to see Nia right now? No, not necessarily, but Nia is missed. At least to have a round for Io to have a match with. So in my prediction with this, I think you have to have Bianca Belair win this one because you need to reestablish this clear line that she is a main eventer, that she is a superstar. It would also further the narrative that Naomi and Jade and Bianca in that way that, look at you, Jade. Now that you're not around, Jade, look at Bianca. Bianca's now a champion. Isn't that a shame? Like, now she's left you in the dust? Like, there's something in that narrative to kind of pull on Jade's coattails a little bit and for Naomi to dig into that. And I would love that idea to continue because then when you have that Mania match, it could be like, hey, look, I made you, or, you know, you're nothing without me. And then Jade could say, like, I am somebody without you. And look, I'm going to prove wrong. So there's that scene. And I don't see Io Sky's the train going any further than this. And I do feel that the Kabuki Warriors with Asuka and then Kairi Sane, who's being cleared and she's looking like $1 million, I think those three could do something in a faction going forward.
Okay. All right. So let's move on now to Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest in a Sin City street fight, Sancho. I'll let you run with this one. You got any thoughts here?
Brother, the build wasn't that great for this. It was more like a situation that Drew did not deserve Damian. Like, Drew deserved better. We were seeing him with Paul Heyman interrupting the 2K cover reveal, all that kind of stuff. And then to slip down to Damian Priest, which I don't know. It felt like, I ain't got nothing to do today. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's have a Mania match. And it felt that way until we had a lot of brawls recently that were unique brawls. And I think that one that solidified me in this match was the one in London where Damian Priest literally drove Drew McIntyre into real glass, Cry Me a River type of situation. And for them to even CM Punk be the icing on the cake on that moment was fun. But I'm still convinced that Damian and Drew are not equivalent on the mic. So they avoided those situations. They gave them vignettes to have their promos. But them together, like just throwing each other into things and the way that Damian sells Drew in such a UFC type of way, I have to give this one to Damian Priest. I think Damian Priest, the line where he was called Timu Taker is crossed that line so much so that I think Damian's going to be undead and he's going to have ungodly powers. And he's going to be able to beat Drew McIntyre, furthering the plot that Drew McIntyre is his own villain in his own, like, mm-hmm. He gets in his own way. Because I feel like that's been kind of spoken about a lot, that it's, Drew, if you could just get out of your own way, you'd be a champion. If you could just focus and not be so bombastic about your wins, that you would be a champion now. Instead, you lost track and you focused on CM Punk. They were kind of leaning on that a little bit. I just don't buy this idea that Damian is an opportunist that Drew is leaning on. So I'm going to give this one to Damian Priest because if Damian Priest loses here, where can he go? Absolutely nowhere. But if Drew loses this, it just feeds his fire more to complain.
Sure. I think I'm still of the mind that I wish Drew wasn't doing this, but at least they did the best possible story buildup and feud for what they were given. I still think it's weird that they had Drew McIntyre talk about the Bloodline and Roman Reigns for like 3 months, Bloodline Bounty Hunter, and then it never actually materialized into anything. And then we ended up with Damian Priest, which is why so many people were so down on this. But once you stripped away everything that this didn't end up being, you know, the fact that this wasn't Drew versus the Bloodline versus Roman Reigns or whatever, we just look at what it is and what they built. I think they did a really, really good job. They got me really excited for this match. And the added kicker with this being a street fight, I think it's just going to be a good match. I'm taking Drew McIntyre. I just don't see Drew McIntyre back-to-back manias getting clowned by Damian Priest, did last year with the cash in. I think he needs to get his revenge. So I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre here.
Are you looking forward to this match, though? Is this like, it's night two, right?
It's a night two match. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be like a solid, like brawl, like a good fight. I think it's going to be a nice palate cleanser between some of like the higher stakes matches, like the women's triple threat or John Cena, Cody Rhodes. I think it's going to be a good palate cleanser and just a fun match.
That has to have like a casino, like something like a big poker chip. Something to bring in that Vegas vibe all together.
It's a Sin City street fight. Yeah. Maybe use a slot machine or something. I don't care. Whatever.
It's going to be. Yeah. I like the idea. This is a sneaky favorite, but when you saw Drew look at Seth Rollins at that one, I don't know, Raw or SmackDown, whatever it was, you're like, that's where you belong, brother. You belong there.
All right. Let's move on to the main event of everything. The night two main event, my friend.
Of the world.
The main event of the world, of the planet of humanity. We have Cody Rhodes defending the WWE Undisputed Championship. I always say that wrong. I always say WWE Undisputed Championship. It's labeled as the Undisputed WWE Championship. My bad. The Undisputed WWE Championship match between Cody Rhodes defending against John Cena. You know I got words here, so I'll let you go first.
I feel this is going to be an interesting dilemma for the WWE. Now, don't get mad at me.
Hit me.
I think the John Cena heel turn has run its course. Mm-hmm. There's not enough runway for the John Cena heel to continue throughout the year. I think at this match, you get the John Cena face turn as well. In my experience and when I'm watching with John Cena and all the different promos, I don't think there's much more that he can do as a heel. I think they wasted a lot of ammunition in the initial promos because he cut promos, heinous promos against his fans. And where do you go from there, right? If he wins, he's going to have a tear, like a boss type of final boss type of heel run where he's going to have to face more baby faces and like more challengers. And maybe Cody gets another crack at it. I just don't see that. I don't see that narrative for the WWE going forward. I think the narrative is John Cena is a good guy again. Let's watch him try to recapture gold as a good guy because it didn't work as a face. I think The Rock gets involved, of course. Travis Scott is there. And I think John Cena rights the wrong that he did at Elimination Chamber. And Cody Rhodes is able to, you know, help him see the light. And I think Cody walks away as champion. Now, does that suck? Yes, because all this is done on such a time crunch. We were promised John Cena to get a lot of opportunities for this Mania build. John Cena wasn't around because of the filming schedule. The Rock wasn't around and Travis Scott wasn't around, things like that. And Cody had to really build this up on his own. And he did a really solid job. And I think like the most interesting part about this entire promo is the soul of the WWE, where Cody Rhodes had his "these are my ladies" type of presentation with all the belts. And he was talking about legacy and things of that sort. And this is the people's belt. And I don't know if the WWE is willing to leave on this Mania on such a downbeat of an Empire Strikes Back, like I mentioned before, where John Cena walks away as champion. So I'm going to pick Cody Rhodes. But I don't like that pick because I think this idea of John Cena being evil, we didn't really explore it all. And they, because of the truncated schedule, they just used all the ammunition as possible. And it would have been cool to have a properly built up heel Cena to continue his tyrannical reign going into SummerSlam. But I don't know.
Okay. You buffoon, you fool. How short-sighted are you, Sancho? What a dumb thing to say. The John Cena heel turn doesn't have gas. It's run its course. The thing that people have been waiting for the better part of a decade. How short-sighted? Are you crazy? There is so much more to unpack with John Cena as a heel. Absolute buffoonery coming from the Sancho factory over there. The John Cena heel turn has legs on legs on legs. This man may as well be Wembenyama with how much legs he has. That's right. I'm bringing up Wemby in this. He's got a lot of legs. Wemby has legs. He's got plenty of those.
Got two of them.
But they're long. But the amount of feuds that heel John Cena can have are way more than babyface John Cena can have. It's just the truth. Babyface Punk, babyface Rollins. You can even throw in all of the, like, Randy Orton continue against Cody Rhodes. We've seen babyface Cena for 20 years. Like, let this breathe, as opposed to start looking at the end of the road. Like, you're seeing a brick wall already. This has way more legs than to just end abruptly at WrestleMania. Look, Cody Rhodes is going to lose this. Cody Rhodes is going to lose this. And I actually think that Cody Rhodes is going to take some time off. I think that Cody Rhodes is going to take time off. We're already seeing Cena being advertised for Backlash, for Raw after Mania, for Saturday night's main event after WrestleMania. All of those shows Cody Rhodes is not advertised for. I think that John Cena is going to win and Cody Rhodes is going to take time off. You know, you say, you know, that this would end on a down note. It is, because it's the bad guys winning, but it's also the bad guys that include two of the most popular figures right now in The Rock and John Cena. Like, that is an image. That is a buzzworthy pop culture moment that isn't the traditional, like, this wouldn't be Jack Swagger winning and closing WrestleMania, all right? So let's not even, like, even equate the two or anything like that. John Cena's standing tall with The Rock, with Travis Scott, winning 17 is maybe, like, in the traditional sense of the bad guy winning a down note, but it's not a down note at all.
You don't want Cena to do it the right way, though,
Ben? No. Like, he did it the right way 16 times. I've seen the right way 16 times.
Yeah,
I've
but seen you don't want a pure 17. No.
Why? I already saw 16 pure and beautifully. Give me a nasty 17, brother.
He ends his career as a heel?
No, not necessarily. He could have his come to Jesus moment at the very end. I still think that can happen. But if you're doing this, if you're pulling the trigger on John Cena being a heel, he needs to become your big bad guy of the WWE. One of the problems is that, you know, the big bad guy of the WWE has been The Rock over the last year, but he's not there. We, at the very least, have Cena guaranteed for, like, the next 2 months to be there on a fairly semi-regular basis for events. He can be your big bad guy. He can. He can be your big bad guy till SummerSlam and lose it there.
I think the only thing, when you go into that decision, I think there's still some feuds left for Cody. It's unfortunate that KO got hurt. That's a bummer. And he's out for God knows how long. But I think Randy Orton, I needed to see that. I needed to see Randy and Cody. Okay. That is something that would have left on the table.
But
I needed to see Cody and Roman again. Right?
Okay. But
that's another one left on the table.
You got any more? Before I throw in my butt?
I'll throw it in, brother. Back it up.
But they have years to be able to hit those again. They Cena doesn't. That's not a thing.
Oh, I see.
You gotta hit the greatest hits over the next 6-7 months that we have left of Cena, it would be like 8 months left of Cena.
But that's what I'm saying. You wanting the greatest hit. Heel Cena's not a greatest hit. His face, babyface Cena, dude. You like if that, they that's, advertise. Would you feel slighted if you bought tickets to see John Cena in his last run and you bought him in advance and it's a heel Cena that's going to say you suck in your face?
Not if it's entertaining. I haven't been slighted.
I'm bringing my son. Look, my boy, John Cena, I've been, I have my hat, I have my shirt. Let's go. He's coming to town. This is the last time we're going to see him. And he looks right my son in the dead in the eye and says, "You're toxic and you suck."
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how it is, brother.
Like, I feel like John Cena is much more valuable to the WWE as a face.
False. Right
versus
now.
Than a heel.
He is not valuable at all to the WWE as a face. The whole point of this story is that he's been completely replaced.
You want Hollywood John Cena, the black and white with the painted on beard.
At least that's different, because right now John Cena as a babyface is like the fifth most important babyface in the WWE, if that, because he's not that guy anymore. So why lean on something that isn't going to be the top best version of John Cena when we got 20 years of what that looks like, when you can lean on something new, something entirely different? I think maybe I used the wrong word when I said greatest hits. Maybe I should have used new hits, new bangers. Mm. This is the new Summer of Cena. This is the new album. I want to see what this new album is, because I could be getting the greatest hits. We could be going through the matches that we were already expecting, you know, a rematch with AJ, the rematch with Punk. That would have been great. I would have been down for this, but we're in this now. At least it's a different thing, and I'm down to let it sink or swim. I am down to let it be bad or good, because at the very least, it's not the safe play. It's different. It's unique. I want to see it continue to play out, and I do want at some point for our Cody Rhodes to return, to not just battle to win back the soul of the WWE, but win back the soul of John Cena. That'd be an awesome way to make Cody Rhodes the ultimate good guy here, and to save Cena and end his career as a good guy. It can't end as a bad guy. I think we agree, at least on that note.
I agree. I think Cena has already said his piece with his fans, and start shoveling promos to the wrestlers again, because that's
what we need. I agree. I think that the relationship between Cena and the fans has been established.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Established. And I felt like we needed that, to be fair. Feel like we needed that. I do believe that because we needed that, it hurt the feud between Cody and Cena. Specifically with Cena not having been here the last couple of weeks, considering this feud has been all about Cena, the Cena heel turn. Why did Cena align with The Rock? Why did he take out Cody Rhodes? Why does Cena want to walk out with the championship? So Cody is just sort of left trying to make a story out of it. And I think he did a really good job by saying, I'm here to protect history so that history can continue to be made. No, sorry. I'm here to stop your history of 17 so that others can make history. I love that. I think that's a great babyface motivation, but I would have loved for more conversations between Cena and Cody Rhodes, which I do think we will get, because I don't think this is the only time that we get this match. I do think eventually Cody Rhodes stands tall, but I think at Mania it's Cena.
I'm just hoping your boy shows up to work.
I don't think I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be at Raw's. He's going to be at a few. He's scheduled for some for PLEs.
We're going to go. And it's so bizarre to me to have this thought right now. We're going to say, oh, we were so lucky that Cody was around after winning. And now that he's gone and the championship's off TV, we're going to be like, oh, I guess Cody was actually better than we thought. And isn't that a weird place to be? Fickle.
That's not me. Sure. I believe that Cody is a great champion. And part of the reason he's so great is because he's there.
Not according to Triple H.
Well, what do you mean that's not according to Triple H? What did he say?
You didn't hear that interview with Triple H?
No.
Triple H was like, the internet's one thing, but all the fans in this crowd are another. I only listen to the fans in the crowd. Like, all right, Triples. All right, Triples. All right. We're going to find your burner account, Triple H. Yeah. We will find you.
Yeah, we know he's hang him high. Hang him high on Twitter.
He's gonna post this photo on his burner account on accident, brother. Right? A new champ is going to happen. He's going to post it on accident before. Oh, no! Delete.
All right, folks.
Oh, quick question.
Oh, okay.
Last prediction. Uncle Howdy?
No.
White Six, yes or no?
No. Yeah, well, I could see it for SmackDown after Mania. That I could see, but not.
I tried.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching this episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. This bonus episode. You're still going to get your regular weekly episode. But that's our Mania predictions. That's another year in the books. This feels like our end of year, doesn't it?
It's a great thing, man. We is it year two for us? Year two, yeah. Second Mania.
Not year two, but second Mania.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We made it. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Be wonderful people. Goodbye.